This is the Climb to Space.
Hello and welcome to the Decline to State Internet Radio Stream, the show in which we get together to discuss the ups and downs of life outside the Matrix. Decline to State is proud to bring you one of surprisingly few netcasts in which the hosts do not support acts of aggression against you. You can find us on the web at declinefm.com. We will find a link to the live chat. The live chat is your go-to way to interact with our listeners or bring up points for discussion on the show. We have a couple, or at least one guest on the show today. We're waiting on the other, who is engaging in the entrepreneurial and agorist act of making freedom happen on the web. But more in that on a sec. I am Ronald McPaul, your beacon of freedom in the heart of the Silicon Valley. I'm joined by my handsome co-casters, and I'll let them go around the horn and introduce themselves.
This is Kwashi Okor.
This is Roto. How is everyone doing?
Doing good. Welcome, fellas.
Great.
And thanks. And that is Celso. That's the guest who actually took the effort to show up. We were invited. I'm sure Peter Jan's going to come on a bit. We're expecting him. But Celso, you were nice enough to sign on early. For that, we thank you. Celso is, I guess, the creator, the entrepreneur behind BTC Jam. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Okay, hello guys. Well, first of all, I need to apologize beforehand because English is not my native language, so I will most surely make some mistakes, but well, I'll try to do my best here.
That caveat is not necessary. I've been doing the cast with Rutto for about 8 months, and I still have no idea what he's saying. And he's a Spanish speaker as his first language, and you are also from South America, but it's Brazilian Portuguese, the only type of Portuguese worth knowing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't care much about grammar here in any house.
I wish that was the kind of English that they taught in K-12 school. That is textbook. That is Queen's English.
Well, but I had the idea and built the BTC Jam site where users can. It's basically a peer-to-peer lending site. So I have programmed it myself. And that's it. I'm an engineer by I have a degree in computer engineering. I'm specialized in neural networks. I work with neuromorphic algorithms, and Bitcoin is like my second passion.
That's great.
That's what I like about you Latin American folk, is you have a lot of passion to go around. More than I do. Wow, that is a mouthful. You said neurographic programming, so is that...
No. It's neuromorphic.
Neuromorphic, excuse me.
Neuromorphic computing. As opposed to the von Neumann architecture that we have today in computers, like when you have memory and processor separate... in the brain, you have the memory and the processor units are merged. The computation and the memory occurs at the same time in the neuron. In neuromorphic computing, we are trying to make a new architecture where the memory and the processing units are fused together. This will bring much more power to the computer systems and things like that.
So, Celso, you have implemented this on your site?
No.
Okay.
It seems to me that if you manage to do a neuromorphic architecture for computers, there's plenty performance and plenty things that couldn't even possibly be done before to be gained. And it also seems to me, this reminds me of the connection machine that Richard Feynman did at some point in his life.
Yeah, Feynman is a genius, and yes, most of the great engineers and physicists they have made attempts in this direction, and we are all trying to mimic the workings of the mammalian brain. So we can achieve like tasks in computer vision or voice recognition that today we already use neural networks to do that. So it's like a neural network architecture.
Could this be combined with, you know, BTC Jam's database to figure out if somebody is an unreliable payer?
Yes, yes. Those kind of architectures, they present, they have machine learning capabilities. So you don't need to know if that particular borrower is trustable because of X or Y. The neural network and the machine learning algorithm, you figure out the parameters alone. You don't need to configure nothing. The neural network, you'll be able to filter the results.
Now, Celso, is this anything at all like the effort that I think it was Linus Torvalds was working on some years ago? I think it was called the Transmeta effort, where they were coming up with a configurable CPU unit that was supposed to be adaptable. It had a lot of media hype, and then it kind of went away quickly. Is there any connection there at all?
Only the way that because the Transmeta CPU was a software simulation of a CPU over another kind of architecture. So we are trying to mimic the brain, and he was trying to mimic his own a CPU over another CPU.
Ah, I see. Okay.
For those that aren't aware, could you, either you, Quash or Celso, what is the Transmeta effort? Or is this something that's in the kind of the popular sphere in terms of programming science?
Go ahead, Celso. Maybe you know more about it than I do.
Okay. They are a company that was building a software-based processor. It was configurable because it was made of software. That's basically the reason. I think that's it. I don't know much about the project, but
okay.
It was hyped as being a superior to Motorola and Intel architecture, and saying that basically you could reconfigure it for different purposes and not lose any performance as you would with an emulator. So it was hyped quite a bit, and I think they may have brought in Torvalds mainly as a PR person. I don't, he claimed to have a close involvement with it, but as it fizzled, he quietly went on to other things and back to Linux development. And then I never heard much about the company, so But when you spoke of a configurable configurable hardware, it brought that to mind.
I have a coworker that used to work for Transmeta. It was an interesting company. The concept was great, except, well, to be fair, the competition, right? Intel, AMD, Motorola, they were able to adapt fast enough so that Transmeta's innovations were pretty much very, very fast incorporated by the competition, right? The competition, ended on making sure that Transmeta didn't actually make it. But back on subject, tell us a little bit more about BTC Jam. I've heard of it. I have actually never used BTC Jam myself. And it seems to me like it's a great way to make some money.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'll explain it better. We are basically a platform, most like a landing club, but we can, when one person that wants a loan, he can make write a listing stating what the purpose of the loan and what the parameters are, like how much interest you are willing to pay and in what will be the term of the loan, and then people can look at your listing and fund it. You can crowdfund your loan. So we have a lot of active investors, like 3,000, like, and wow. Yeah, like no, we have no advertising and only 3 to 4 months open. So I think it's a good experiment because I have... I'm sorry, I'm searching for the words here. The...
Penis.
That's not the word he's looking
that's
for.
That's the word. It's on the tip of your tongue, Bosch. Again, this is... Quash is not a good person to learn English from. Is that how you pronounce it, really?
Sorry.
So okay. Go on. Sorry about that.
Feel free to take time to get the word, but I just wanted to say that's not too bad to speak of a few thousand people, and I think, or a couple thousand, and you described it earlier as being a peer-to-peer network. I think that's interesting that kind of a lot of people think of torrents when you do this, or the technology behind Bitcoin itself, and I don't know, it seems like it'd be a good way to spread a user base just by virtue of word of mouth or that the way the network grows kind of might be the way a user base could grow.
Yeah, I think the main challenge is to, I think the Bitcoin itself it's still difficult for the average user. So we are trying to ease things a bit, but the regulations are so aggressive that it's very difficult to allow people to convert fiat money to Bitcoin. So I think that's the main reason we do not grow faster.
Yeah, we were talking about that on... actually, Rutter was educating us a few weeks back on the new barricades are in place, or the new ways it's being regulated or watched. Certainly, we would think Bitcoin allows for a lot more freedom or a lot more opportunity there. And I mean, one of the things that I think we can probably all agree why it's really cool what you're doing is we pay a lot of lip service to this new cryptocurrency, this new technology, and doing it. And we'll talk about the highs and the lows and stuff like that. And that causes a lot of people to question the viability or its usefulness. But you've actually invested. You put a lot of time and effort into programming. You're helping to make tools to make that happen. And hopefully if Peter can make it on with us, he might have a family thing. So not to be too mean to him, he might have a good reason for not getting on, but we can still talk about it in a little bit if he doesn't show up. But yeah, it sounds like you guys are creating a lot more opportunity for that to be a useful and I guess a needed use of that currency.
Yeah. Well, Ronald mentioned it earlier, like the when we have some anarchy in the system, and then anarchy is probably good. But one thing that surprised me about when I did the service is that people, even Bitcoin users, they ask for regulation. They ask me to moderate the listings. It's funny because even inside this community, I get a lot of requests of people wanting more regulation by me, and it's funny. I was not expecting that.
I think people want protection after they've lost money.
Yeah.
So that's actually a very good point. I was at once scammed to the tune of $50, fortunately, just $50, by a Bitcoin seller, right? And, well, by a fraudster posing as a Bitcoin seller. And that felt pretty bad. And then I realized, well, the thing is, I trusted the wrong person. Having had the tools at my disposal to verify that the person's not going to scam me, I didn't use them, right? And I suppose, like every other website that does, you know, e-commerce these days, well, at least every other good website, the BTC Jam has a mechanism that provides for that safety, right? And people are supposed to do their moderation the way that people do the moderation in eBay or they do the moderation in Amazon, which is by speaking the truth about their counterparty, right? By saying, yeah, this person is a scammer. This person is, you know, I can do business with him because he paid me back. So tying this with what I think BTC Jam is fantastic and I might just want to start using it. How would I go about Say I have 10 Bitcoins in my wallet.
Good question.
How would I go about using it? What's the process? And how do I make sure that I make lots of money like a loan shark? I mean, sorry, that I, you know, invest in the community.
Well, okay. You just go to btcgn.com and open an account or use your Facebook or Google IDs. And then you find a add funds button. You send your coins to the address that this site will provide to you. And then you can go right to the listings. And at the listings, the service we provide to the community is to verify the documents. So we had a backend where we inspect all the documents. We use PayPal verification, address verification. So if the person has a verified PayPal account, we can use that information to be certain that the person, like the John is John, is not a scammer that presenting himself as another trusted member. So we do the verification work.
And do you use things like social security numbers to do that? Or how do you bring the regulation to it? How do you verify?
Yeah, well, as we are not yet established in the US, we cannot, we don't have access to the SSN numbers, but we use the companies that have that access to verify the identity. So we kind of use the middleman today to do that. But we verify all the information. If the person submits SSN information, we can verify that to a service provider. And we also have a peer-to-peer reputation system. So much like the OTC, where people can rate themselves, just like eBay. And I think it's very similar.
Also, you do allow me to leverage my OTC reputation in your site, right?
Yeah, you can link your OTC reputation, your eBay reputation, and this will be aggregated to your credit score. So all this is taken into account to give as much information as we can to the possible investor.
Celso, can I borrow or loan without verification of any kind?
Yes, at first it was possible, but surprisingly, the Bitcoin community asked me to only allow non-anonymous borrowers. And it was surprising, but I had many people asking me in the forums and the feedback we get and by emails to not let anonymous borrowers.
Oh, so you have closed that off now?
Yeah, today you cannot open a listing without verifying your identity with us.
Now, do you think that's one of the downfalls of the Bitcoin stock exchange? I forget who, Nefario, who is leading that effort. That was, of course, closed down. His location was raided. They took the servers because they aimed. You know, there were threats that he was running a money laundering or illegal trading system, and were threatening prosecution. How do you compare to that effort? And what steps have you taken to avoid such involvement of you know, federal agents?
Okay, well, and I did a lot of research of the regulations here in Brazil, and here we basically cannot do it with fiat money. And if you do with fiat here in Brazil, the penalty is 10 years of jail. Like you definitely cannot lend money here in a peer-to-peer manner. But for Bitcoins here, you can do that because Bitcoin or e-currencies, they do not exist legally in Brazil. So I can basically do that here.
But don't you fear involvement or interference from United States federal authorities? You know, these Bitcoin stock exchange was also exchanging not in fiat currency, but in Bitcoins. And they were outside of the United States, yet they still fell afoul of United States laws. If you, so couldn't the U.S. government similarly interfere or pressure the Brazilian government to find some way of saying that you were breaking some Brazilian law so that they could threaten you? I mean, since you are allowing United States citizens to borrow or lend, isn't that a risk? Because, you know, I'm thinking of Peter Schiff, whose international organization will not deal with American customers because of the SEC regulations.
Well, you're just a negative Nancy, aren't you, Quash?
Nah, nah.
So, what you said about the penalties... sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. I studied that too. And basically, I cannot exchange to fiat. If I in some point exchange the Bitcoin to any other currency, then this you mentioned can happen. Like they can the United States, but if I don't exchange to fiat currency, I'm not liable. Well, I and my lawyer, they told me I'm secure. For now, I think I'm secure.
Interesting. So here's the deal. What you mentioned also happens in Ecuador. If you're in Ecuador and you lend money in a peer-to-peer fashion to someone else, you don't have the proper paperwork because, you know, without the paperwork, the whole world will just fall apart. It would just be Mad Max riding motorcycles with Mohawks. If you don't do that, they will put you in jail for several years as well. And I'm not sure if in Ecuador it's for fiat or for pretty much anything, but I know that at least for fiat, that's the case. So if you lend money that way, you're in trouble. And of course, that doesn't stop people from lending money. It just raises the black market interest rate. There's people who will definitely lend you money. They'll just have to pay 20% interest on that. And I know this because I've done it once, right? I've borrowed money from one of these people. And if you don't pay, then the interest, well, it's 20% per month, so it's a lot of money. But
fingers are you missing?
I'm not missing any fingers. Because as a matter of fact, I paid in time, so no problem. But think about it. This is horrible, right? You could get killed because of, money that you borrowed. And the way, the reason this happens is because when the state intervenes the market and makes it impossible for you to actually compete in, for example, the lending market, this is a money market, right? What ends up happening is that people who are willing to use violence to settle their disputes are the people who do this. So everyone, especially the most poor, like the poorest people, the people who don't have access to credit through the normal financial system, those are the people that get hurt. This is terrible, and it's a terrible tragedy, and it's produced by the state. Sorry, that was my rant. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
no, that was a good rant.
You are right, yeah.
I just took a moment to pause because it's kind of it's sad. It hits you. I mean, but kind of seeing the nature of the beast with financial problems and people not being able to get the funds that they need, it's a tragedy. Yeah, I guess it's a tragedy on a different level, different than the Boston explosion, but I guess no less real.
Now the controllers will say, "Oh, we need to protect people. We need to get involved in these loan situations because we wouldn't want you to get into a situation where you got in debt from friends. You went out and bought a Lamborghini, and you only have a job at Walmart. You know, but you borrowed all this money at high interest rates, and so they're going to come and cut off your fingers. We want to protect you, or we don't want you involved in crazy pyramid schemes or internet electronics." electronic currency schemes where you're going to go gamble away your family's fortune, and then they'll be penniless and dependent on the government. And I'm getting carried away. So my question is also, what kinds of loans have been funded on your site? Are there concerns that you think that people will come back and say, oh, I was cheated, and now you Celso owe me because you allowed this guy to loan me money or borrow me money or whatever? What kinds of loans have been funded on the site?
Well, today, we have many loans of people that will use it to start a business or to start a mining business. We have many miners on getting loans.
Bitcoin miners.
Yeah, Bitcoin miners. They use the loans to buy servers to mine the coins and then repay the loan with the coins they have borrowed. We have several cases. Yeah.
And you've only been around, I mean, it's only been active for a couple of months, so when Quash is curious, you know, what it's been done for or what it's doing, this is not a long time frame to go off of necessarily.
Yeah, we have lent like 10,000 30,000 coins, and I think it's a good number for like 3 months with no advertising and only mouth to mouth.
And over that period, the value has fluctuated pretty significantly recently. Do you have any thoughts, or does this make you worry when the price goes way up or way down? Do you start saying to yourself, oh my God, I've invested all this time and money and programming knowledge into this, and it's not going to be stable. It's too volatile.
Yeah, I don't like that volatility. I don't think this is good to Bitcoin, because it's like a kind of a bubble mentality, and I don't like it. But because of that, I have implemented a USD denominated loan where the loan still is in Bitcoin, but the payments they will float accordingly to the exchange rate with another currency. So you basically protect yourself against fluctuation in Bitcoin, and you still can make your loan in Bitcoin.
Celso, have you had any problems where anyone's saying, well, I loan this much money, I loan this many Bitcoins, and now I'm getting paid back those Bitcoins, but they're worth less than I loaned out now, so it should be invalidated, or I need more compensation, or so. Has that been a complaint at all?
No. They use it. I got like a couple of emails from people that invested in that kind of loans without really paying attention, and then but mostly people understand they Bitcoin users, they understand the financial system like any other nerd.
like they are like any other good nerd. That's great. Yeah, the average Bitcoin user is a little bit above average, which is nice. So you get a user base that's probably less annoying. Quash seems to be pretty interested in what kind of complaints you get. You should have him be someone to manage your email box to get that off your hands.
I could prepare some pretty angry responses, I think, too.
Just have some pre-written responses. Yeah.
Listen here, you.
But I'm really proud of my users, because they are very participative. They are passionate. I have a feature in the site that it is the user voice widget, where people can vote for features. And like I get tens of votes every day for new features, suggestions, and even judge me, the judge me site from Peter. It was a suggestion from a member of the community, like, hey, talk to this guy, he can help you with the arbitration. And people, they are very helpful. I'm proud of them.
That's great. And I'm glad you brought that up, because we were waiting for to see if he would might be able to make it, but Yeah, the judge.me site, which is something that people in the Reddit community are big fans of, for you and them, we're kind of on the sidelines rooting, even if we don't have pending legal disputes or qualms we need resolving. We're rooting for you guys as kind of agorist-like entrepreneurial organizations to succeed and to grow and to be viable options to kind of the slow, lugubrious status apparatus that Reddo loves so much. So you had a user submit a request, or it was voted on, to say, hey, when you have these disputes or these complaints or these things that Quash is interested in, who's going to handle it? How are you going to resolve it in a way that meets everyone's needs in an equitable way? And what Peter does is he has a network, or you have a network of people ready to lend Bitcoins, and hey, look at that. He's got a network of people with technical and legal expertise. And you guys in the last couple of weeks, and this is kind of the announcement we've kind of been hoping to kind of do a little press release on the show, is that you guys are having the partnership you've been working fervently on the last couple of weeks to make that happen. And you're going to, these are the problems. These are more problems we're addressing. So, not to kind of put too much in your lap, but what need is he meeting, and how is this taking off from here?
We are very excited with this use case for judge.me, because it's really amazing. It's like we have people arbitrating, like when someone will get a loan in BTC Gem, and they have to agree to that that loan will be subjected to an award from judge.me. So if the loan goes wrong, like if a default occurs, and this loan can have one motion. So the borrower can make a motion to change the loan terms, and this motion is voted by the investors proportionally to the amount they invested. And if they reach an agreement, then the borrower will repay with the new terms. But if they cannot reach an agreement, we have made an API that automatically submits all the law information to judge.me, and then the arbitrator, a real person that is trained for that, will read the law and terms, and then issue an award. That award is legally binding, so that contract, that loan contract, can be enforced in the country of the borrower, so the borrower can have his assets used to pay for the loan.
Because a country will recognize a contract as something legally binding. So both parties agree, and this is where we get into the stuff that David Friedman talks about, or the potential, future and the ways to do arbitration is he kind of resolves that, and then there's a contract that somebody can take to the legal apparatus in that country to make happen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
To be enforced. Okay. Sorry to cut you off, Josh.
I hate to be negative here, but part of my regular work is risk management and trying to identify things that could go wrong. And I'm wondering what would happen in a case, say I wanted to start a business to start a pot growing operation. I'm going to grow marijuana, and I need $10,000 to get it started. And now, I'll repay investors as I start selling. Well, things go wrong. My operation gets raided. I'm unable to sell my marijuana, so I can't repay the investors. So they sue me under this arbitration agreement. And the arbitration agreement says, well, we looked at the contract and it says it doesn't matter what the outcome or what the legal ramifications are. So I still owe by the ones who had funded the operation.
This is a pretty specific hypothetical.
These things go around in my head. It keeps me up at night. So what happens then if it ends up in a U.S. court and they say, well, this is not a valid contract because you can't fund a marijuana operation? So if it's not legal in the country...
You don't tell me what to do, statist.
Well, it's good for me if I get out of the contract. You know, so couldn't local law usurp even an international agreement that was binding to the parties?
Yes. Well. First, I hope that not user base is based mostly on drug dealers. But yeah, we.
Or at least from a marketing perspective, you're gonna not say that.
it's much like the Wikipedia. Like at first, when I first heard of it, like many years ago, I thought to myself, this isn't going to work. And today, this works marvelously. So we assume that the majority of the users will pay his loans because the majority of people are good people. And that's kind of happening because we don't see many, well, not we don't see, we see more like the chicken stealer. Well, we have that expression here in Brazil, like a small time thief, that the really big loans, we don't see that kind of thing happening.
I think that's a good assumption, or I'd like to think that among the Bitcoin community. I mean, that's my impression from it.
But I guess my concern is that would you find yourself to be in a situation of liability if a substantial number of loans or businesses being listed were not legal in their host countries?
Well, we have in our terms of use, we do not allow any illegal activity, and it's... In some countries, you have to be sure that your users are not posting illegal things. We do moderation, but we are not responsible for the loans. That's clearly stated. The users can transmit the Bitcoin without us. We are just a medium where they can exchange like the addresses and the list information.
So the Bitcoins aren't going through you. They're going directly between the borrower and the lender.
No, they go through me. Yeah.
Oh, they do go through you. You are a accumulator or middleman for the loans.
Because we use the infrastructure, the Bitcoin infrastructure doesn't work like that. I cannot charge a wallet. People need to send the coin. So I can only fund a loan because we have loans with, I don't know, tens, hundreds of investors. So we need to move that coins, and we can only move coins that are in that we have access to, basically. So they need to pass to us.
Okay,
interesting. It's a lot to take in, isn't it, Quash?
It is. I'm trying to get my head around all of this.
He's been working hard at it for a while. I'm kind of got the same overload, but that's why it's good that it's saved to a netcast, is because we'll be able to listen to it again.
So
sorry, I think I'm not that good in explanations.
No, it's okay. I mean,
you're doing great. I think the Quash is just dense. It's really all in him.
I want to see them greenbacks, or I don't understand it at all.
You got to be able to bend. You just test the gold, see if you can bend it in your mouth with your teeth, with your two good teeth.
So here's another direction I'd like to ask about. Have you? There are other microloan systems, you know, that operate in fiat currencies. Have you thought about competition with them as far as advocating this as a means of funding people who want to start small businesses in their communities? real a physical business, not an investment business or an online business. Let's say they want to start, a laundromat or a goat shearing service or something in where the country that they live.
Hell, and, let's promote that now.
BTC that would seem...
Jam, the number one goat laundry service starter upper.
But it would seem like as a really positive thing, like, you know, you're appealing to people's goodness because it's funding, the impoverished, the people who cannot get loans, the people who don't even qualify for microloan systems, or because the exchange fees are too high in microloan systems or something like that. Have you considered that angle?
Yes, I'm actually glad you asked it, because we are right now talking with the Brazilian Central Bank to present that idea to them. So we went to Brasilia, which is our capital, and we started to talk with them because we think this is a good thing. And yes, we have a currency here in Brazil that it's called Sampaio. So there is this guy in the favela that has a great community. The favela is really big. I don't know if you are familiar with the concept of Brazilian favelas.
Yeah, those are the places you go in Modern Warfare 2.
Those are the places that are super, 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 super poor.
Yes. What is it? The City of God, I think, would be the movie familiar to, say, North American audiences that kind of popularize, or it takes you there.
Exactly that. And then in one of that favelas, one guy created a local currency. In Brazil, you can do that if it is a social currency. So he noticed that the community used a lot of money, but the money was going out of the community to the big corporations, because in the favelas, you still go to McDonald's and you still buy soap, and you have to buy industrialized food. And then he realized that and created this local currency to instigate the people from the community to provide the services. So instead of you using your money and spend it outside the community, with that local currency, the people from the community, you use the money only on the community. So you help the community to grow. And we are talking with those guys, so we will be able to exchange Bitcoin with social currencies in Brazil. Yeah, that's a favela. And that's it. So I think it's a great idea, because we will have Bitcoin investors investing to people buy soap or a new fridge, things like that.
That's great. And you said that if you could help connect the dots for me, what your guys' service does through Bitcoin and empowers people to use these local currencies. Is there an exchange between them, or how does that work exactly?
Yeah, well, the Sampaio currency, which is this local currency, we will exchange that currency with Bitcoin, the Sampaio Foundation will do that. I'm calling here Sampaio, but in Brazil we have like 3 to 4 social currencies, and those social currencies are willing to talk. But first, we are cleaning these things out with the central bank, because without their approval, we cannot do that. But they are being positive. Like if there is this social approach, they are inclined to agree and help.
That's cool. It's an exciting time in your life. It sounds like that's big.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm meeting very interesting people, because I always associated those people involved in politics, and They are not generally good people, to be frank, here in Brazil. Here in Brazil.
I have a friend, another American friend that I grew up with. I actually know maybe a couple of people that have spent about a year in Brazil to learn the language and the land and I guess the ladies would be part of it too. but saying that it's, I think, way more than in the United States, say, or Canada. It's very much taken matter-of-factly that the government is corrupt. It's not going to raise any eyebrows to point that out. It's just kind of a fact of life. Is that kind of like Redditor talking about with Ecuador? It's a little bit different view of government is kind of what my
I was kind of going for that. I was kind of going for that. Sorry to interrupt, but it's us Latin Americans that are much, much less trusting of the government than any American that I've ever known, except perhaps, honor exception for voluntarists. But then again, everyone else just trusts their politicians here, and they think that they're in this corruption-free paradise where nothing bad is ever done by politicians. Where we come from,
America,
we know very well that's not even remotely the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. Here we have a minister who is the judge already, found guilt by the judge, and still he doesn't quit, and nobody takes him out of the ministry. It's like it's a shame.
Shit. Reminds me of the Politicians on the Wire, the show that I'm going through recently. One thing I'm interested in is, being someone like yourself that spends a lot of time in the, I think you use the term nerdiness on the web, and we have our esoteric terms and things and economic knowledge and high level Bitcoin community. When you go around and talk to people you meet, not people in the government, say one of those Brazilian girls on the beach with the notoriously rotund butts. How do you explain this to them? Do you get positive responses? Are people interested? Do you say, do you use the Portuguese word for arbitration, or how does that kind of connect? And I know you're newer to it and you probably spend a lot of time programming, but.
Yeah, well, it's very tough. I'm sometimes.
You got to dumb it down a little.
No, I don't think it's dumbed down because to interact with other people, for me it was always difficult. But in time, I understood that people are just different, and they have it's normal. And I simply don't mention that kind of subject because it's very difficult to explain. I kind of explain it in we lend money and without banks, and
that's
basically
fine.
That's it. Yeah. So
that's
I'm a good guy, and you like me because of this.
Yeah. Yeah. People say, "Oh, you do a oh God, Quash, you're posting the rotund bots in the chat, in the producer chat. That's great. Way to distract me."
Oh, she has a flag. Oh my God.
Yeah, so there's a woman, I'm just going to describe it. There's a, I think she's on a rooftop. She's doing some suntanning.
I don't want to know.
One of these notorious Brazilian women. And there's a large behind and also a bikini that's barely visible because.
It's a textured behind.
Yes. Where were we? Oh, but anyways, for that distraction, by the time we get to visuals or put these as YouTube videos, we're going to have too many things to draw from. Similar to, I guess, I don't know about the rest of the crew, but what I'll do with talking to people is to be like, oh, you do a netcast or you do podcasting. What do you guys talk about? And I just, very generally, oh, anything but politics. Anything's fair game. We talk about X, whatever is most recent. We talk about Bitcoin's a new currency, or even the currency you kind of have to avoid. It's, ways for people to avoid transnational transaction fees if people have family from abroad, or it's a trick, but you can find ways to make it relatable. And It was interesting, you know, speaking with someone more, you know, way more notorious in the community. It was having a, you know, some Reddit back and forth comments with Adam Kokesh recently, and he was kind of expressing frustration that there's no way to kind of relate to people. Like, he says that he has to kind of wear that, you know, over his heart, that he's, you know, libertarian podcaster, spreads all these views, and, you know, the talking to girls wherever he meets, he has to express this. And I was trying to convey, or at least my opinion, that there's different ways to, you know, to open people up to things. You don't have to kind of dump that all in one thing. So anyways, I like to hear the way you phrase it, or the way, or hearing about how you do that. And also, damn you, Quash, for posting that picture. I cannot stop looking at that. That is a full moon. As far as what Peter does, and I don't want you to speak for him, and I know unfortunately he might be indisposed today, and we might have to, you know, can always have him on a later time, but you are mostly operating in Brazil. You said that you're not operating in the United States. Probably better for you in terms of hassle. What is the purview, or what kind of scope does his arbitration have? I understand it to be international. You know, Quash is probably going to bring up some points about, and I'm actually curious too, about different laws that people are subject to, but has he been familiar with or done business in Brazil already, or are you kind of exposing him to that?
No, the arbitration, it comes from UN decision, like there are 146 countries that signed the New York, let me see, the Convention of New York, and that decision, they agreed that this arbitration process is legally binding, so he doesn't need to know the Brazilian legislation system, or because this UN agreement is valid because Brazil already signed it. So you don't, for all the countries that have signed it, you don't need to know anything about that. The only important thing is that the country is part of the that UN agreement.
So in other words, it's relatively easy, and we could have declined to state arbitration. We could compete with them. Not so true. Well,
you have to have the arbitrators, because they need to be reputable, because a judge will look at the arbitration, because the arbitration is not an execution order. A judge still needs to validate the award. So you have to have reputable arbitrators, because they need to be taken seriously by the judge.
Where's my gavel? I'll be an arbitrator. I'll judge these cases. I know people. I can judge them. I can tell, especially when they got a funny accent. They're probably up to no good.
Arba Husa. That's true. He does have a network of lawyers. Is he legally trained, as far as you know, Celso? Or does he? I know he kind of grew to have an interest in arbitration and dispute resolution, but. What is his background?
Yeah, I'm not. He's not. He's trained, but not. He, as far as I know, doesn't have a degree in law. But he's very educated from I know. But I don't really know if he has a degree on law.
Okay, so he sounds like he knows what he's talking about, at least.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah. And again, you know, I think most people who listen are kind of well familiar with Judge Dunny, and people will root for them whether we need the service or not.
So how, Celso, how is the reception of Bitcoins in general in Brazil, in the communities you travel in? You know, I can say here in the Midwest, I work with IT people who may have heard about Bitcoins, but they don't know anything about them. And outside of the IT community, they're clueless completely. And there's no one who's heard anything about them, I don't think. So what do you, is it probably similar down there, or do you think it has the potential of growing faster because there's not a dependence on the U.S. dollar, or because of weakness of the Brazilian currency? What does it look like there, and what's the outlook?
Well, here in Brazil, I think the IT people generally don't know Bitcoin too, but I'm seeing an increasing interest from the financial sector. Like I more often see people from the financial services to know Bitcoin, but IT people not really, which I think is good, because technically Bitcoin is so fascinating that it's just a matter of time. The nerds will love it. The nerd yes. who doesn't love Bitcoin is because he doesn't know it.
He doesn't know he likes it. Yeah, there's a lot of those concepts like the tipping point, or you know, you get past that group of early adopters and it's not as far as you think. I think as a lot of the people like to think, you cross some threshold and all of a sudden the word of mouth or the usefulness or something becomes obvious and just kind of explodes and everyone needs one like an iPad.
Yeah, the main problem here is the doubt is when this tipping point is reached, what will be the reaction of the establishment? Because I think they will be very scared, and it's really I don't really know what will happen, because they are here in Brazil, they are very, very protective about their assets, and you can see that by the laws, because even my peer-to-peer lending system here, our taxes are our interest rate is much, much lower than what banks in Brazil we usually do. In Brazil, we have one of the highest interest fees in the world, like it's the second or third place, and they want to put you in jail, basically. So I'm really, I think that it's more like a establishment against the people who cannot, the people who are not in the group. But I think that's the main problem. I don't think it's a technical problem or a marketing problem. I think it's simple like that.
That's pretty interesting that you mentioned that. I wish the world were a little bit different in that sense. I kind of wish that we didn't have to endure threats of punishment, right? Threats of ruin, threats of brutalizing, threats of being caged for doing things that are nominally reserved to a certain group of people who may or may not know a lot about of the issue, but still that doesn't entitle them to punish everyone else. And I think that what you're doing, the work that you've done, is a very, very important part of a larger ecosystem of evolution towards a more, you know, more ethical society, where peaceful acts don't get punished, where peaceful acts are embraced because they are already embraced by the people who are involved in those peaceful acts. And they're not terrorized and sabotaged by people who just don't care. Thank you for what you're doing. You should continue doing that. Please, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So it's about that time, folks. It's about 2300 hours Eastern and 2000 Pacific. So keep Obama in president, you know. He got us a phone. He's going to arbitration and lending. You too can choose a Decline to State as we continue to feel all the feels on either declinefm.com or Decline to State on iTunes. I would like to remind you that Decline to State is still brought to you free of charge, as well as paid advertisement free. We hope to soon have a Bitcoin donation link up and running for those interested in helping to keep the servers running, the website developing, and the show going. Cracker has always informed us that this one is on him. A big thanks to all of our hosts, tech experts, researchers, contributors, and a big hello to the people live now. I can want to go down the list as a uncommon thing. Beetle559, Eternal, of course, is here. Cracker, LDL, Lee, Musser, Orange Peel, Remy Roy, hey Remy, and TTK, too. Decline to State is a group effort motivated by our love of liberty, as well as capitalist bow ties and free market monocles. Remember, when asked, always decline to state. This is Ronald Paul saying, I got judge.me and BTC Jam in my corner. Come at me, bro.
This has been Kwashiorkor from the favela of Kalamazoo.
And this is Rutto. Guys, let everyone know about the client estate so we can all be friends.
And BTC Jam. Thanks, Celso. And also Niren's here too, but he's a status.
Thank you. Thank you, Chu. It was good to talk with you guys.
Thanks for joining us.